welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson, the show where we remind dads of what really matters. I'm Scott Moore, your host and Todd's sidekick for the Family Man Show. Thank you for joining us today. How's it going, Todd?
Well, you know, things are going a lot better. I think last week things had been hard, and I was wondering about my air filter, and I found the right air filter for my RV, so that's going well. I changed the oil on my RV, 25 quarts, which is a lot of oil.
Wow.
And about blinded myself, working underneath there, my wrench flipped off, hit me in the glasses really hard. And I was thinking, all I could think when it first happened was, do you ever watch This Old House on PBS? And,
yeah.
And Norm would do these shows, and he always has the safety glasses. And the first thing I thought I had was Norm going, and remember, always wear these, pointing to his glasses, safety glasses. He's not too far off. I mean, I think I should be wearing my glasses all the time. So we got that, the RV's, just about ready. We're getting ready to blast off in about a week from today, actually, I think, as we start our big out east speaking loop. We're going to be speaking in Pennsylvania all the way out to the East Coast and down in Florida. And, we've got some projects we've got out of the way. We've got our daily calendar, our U to Dad daily calendar that we put out every year. That I don't know if you're dad, if you have one of those, but you ought to get one. For $11, it's just a daily reminder of everything dad. It's like having a podcast every single day, with lots of funny stuff, quotes, inspiring things, some not so inspiring things. But just a good reminder that it's good to be a dad. And then we also just finished up and sent it out to the printer, the publisher, our latest Christmas read aloud. I think this is our sixth year. The last 5 years, we put out a different Christmas read aloud each year. And this is our sixth one called Gladys Remembers Christmas. And I kind of did them because I just got tired of the same old Christmas stories every year. And I got, they only took like 5 minutes to read. And I just wanted something that maybe was a little bit longer, 20 minutes, that kind of didn't confuse, the truth with make-believe. And so, but I still like the enchantment of the season. So we wrote some stories, and this story is one of our best. So we're excited about that. So kind of we've, not in coast mode yet, but some of the pressure has been lifted. We've been hurrying to get our website redesigned for this coming Monday and Tuesday, as we're going to be on Focus on the Family. And if you have time to listen, you can listen to that. But we're making some progress, and it's feeling good. How about you, Scott? It's been a busy time in your life. I heard you went to a ball game last night, right?
Yes, indeed. It was great. It has been very busy, but I took a little time with my father-in-law and my two sons to go down to see a Reds baseball game last night, and it was a blast. Reliving old memories from when I was a kid watching the Big Red Machine.
This Johnny Bench, is he still playing?
What's that?
Johnny Bench isn't still playing, is he?
No, Johnny Bench is not still playing, although he was one of my favorites, him and Pete Rose all those guys. But this team's looking a little bit like that one,
Really?
And it was just a great time. At the end, the game was kind of winding down. The Reds were ahead 4-2, and just to jazz things up, I think Dusty Baker sent in Aroldis Chapman, who, if you don't know, he's the fastest pitcher in the major leagues ever. He can throw a fastball at upwards of 105 miles an hour. And I think just for fun, he chucked the first one right at the guy's head. And it was a slow one for him. It was only 95 miles an hour.
Really?
Just had imagine those baseball movies where the catcher's just messing with the batter going, I don't know where it's going to go, man. So it was fun.
And your kids had a great time?
Yeah, they had a great time. And, we're hoping that the series will be in Cincinnati this year, maybe. We'll see.
I haven't been to the big Major League Baseball games with my kids. We've been to some minor league games, but are they still as scary to, go out into the bleacher, the stands? I mean, when I've been in the past, you just feel like you're on the side of a mountain.
You know, I get that a little bit of that vertigo when I'm up in the upper decks too, and I'm a little wobbly there. And my one son asked me to hold him up when everybody was standing so he could see over top of him. I'm like, I don't think so. I don't want to drop you on here. So
you don't want to make the news that night as the guy who dropped his kid over the edge.
Definitely not. No, I don't want to do a Michael Jackson with the little baby in the blanket or anything.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Hey, Scott, well, I, you know, just thinking about, you know, things in the news or interesting things that dads might be interested in, I just passed along to you some Chuck Norris facts that I just saw them on my email again. You're going to post them. I think you already posted them on Twitter.
Put a couple out there, yeah.
And maybe on Facebook. But I came across this long list, and some of the list is not worth repeating. But I didn't know these facts about Chuck. But as I read them, I thought, man, they make sense. Because, you know, everybody knows Chuck Norris is a bad guy. Or not a bad guy. He's a tough guy. And here's some little-known Chuck Norris facts. You know, Chuck Norris's tears cure cancer. You know, but too bad he's never cried before. Chuck Norris counted to infinity twice. And this is... If you can see Chuck Norris, he can see you. If you can't see Chuck Norris, you may be only seconds away from death. When the boogeyman goes to sleep every night, he checks his closet for Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris has already been to Mars, these facts say. That's why there are no signs of life there. There is no chin behind Chuck Norris's beard, and everybody's seen that. There's just another fist. It said Chuck Norris once, I think this is super cool. Chuck Norris once broke the land speed record on a bicycle that was missing its chain and the back tire. And once a grizzly bear threatened to eat Chuck Norris, Chuck showed the bear his fist, and the bear proceeded to eat itself because it would be a less painful way to die. And Chuck Norris sleeps with a nightlight, not because Chuck Norris is afraid of the dark, but the dark is afraid of Chuck Norris. And then awesome. A couple more. Chuck Norris ordered a Big Mac at Burger King, and he got one. And I can't even get ketchup at Burger King, you know. Chuck Norris has never blinked in his entire life. Never. And this is interesting. Chuck Norris doesn't need to swallow when eating. Now, I don't know how that's possible, but I guess Chuck Norris can do it.
That's just frightening.
And yeah. I know Chuck's a tough guy, and actually he's a good guy. But yeah. I just never got into any of the Chuck Norris things. You know, I know I like seeing I like any guy. I like to see another guy, you know, karate chop a dozen bad guys. You know, everybody likes that. But I just was not a big Chuck Norris movie guy, you know.
Yeah, you know, when he was doing the Walker Texas Ranger thing, I had little kids. So, we were watching Barney and Elmo and stuff. So, you know, I don't see anything that my kids aren't watching. So
that's right.
I kind of missed that whole thing that made him such a legend. I did see some of the movies when I was younger because I was into the ninja thing when I was a kid, you know.
Right. So who isn't? Who isn't?
You know, I came up with one more Chuck Norris thing, though. It's kind of a Chuck Norris thing. Aroldis Chapman, the pitcher I was talking about who throws 100 miles an hour, he is like the Chuck Norris of baseball because when they announced him coming out onto the field last night, you could just hear the crowd erupt, and they played this, you know, fear-inspiring music, and you just got the sense that, you know what, when they hear his name come over the loudspeaker, the batters just start crying. So today we're going to be talking about work. And, you know, I've been starting a new job recently, so it's been a hectic week, and that's been going well. But I found a kind of a sad story about work in the news. And, you know, I got to work on getting some happier stories on these funny news stories. But but this one was a guy who, a multimillionaire, died in near Las Vegas. And he wasn't living it up at the casinos, and he wasn't watching Cirque du Soleil. He wasn't even doing karaoke night at the Sands. He had been dead actually for a month in his Carson City home before anyone noticed he was gone.
Wow.
And when the state officials went in to clean out his house to get it ready for sale, they discovered over $7 million in gold bars and coins.
You're kidding. Wow.
Yeah, and he just had them hidden in the garage and other parts of the house. And apparently he was pretty paranoid of what might happen, and at least from what they gleaned from neighbors who said he was pretty much a recluse. And, you know, I just thought that is really sad, and I just wondered, you know, that gold is just a pile of rocks at the end of the day.
Oh, man. It doesn't even do them any good. Now, pathetically sad, you're right. It is a pathetic, sad story. Thanks for sharing it.
It is. Hey, no problem. But it just got me thinking about this topic of work when I ran across that and thinking, you know, what are we working for? Is it for a pile of gold rocks? Or is there something more?
You know, and I think that's a great question. I know we've got some, we're going to take some questions from our, from some other dads that you're going to ask. And but, you know, I was even thinking about this last night. We were, had a another family in our house, and we were listening to a video DVD, you know, teaching video, and they were talking about work. And, you know, I kept getting the feeling, even though it was from a Christian perspective, that we dads are supposed to be defined by the work we do. You know, like, that's the greatest thing we're going to do. You know, I just had this sinking pit in my stomach that that's not true. You know, it may be where we get a lot of our satisfaction, but that's not what we're defined by. And that's not what brings us happiness. And that's not what matters. But I think there's, you know, a lot of different influences from all directions that are saying, you know, Dad, this is what you need to be pouring your life into. And, you know, it ends up, what a powerful reminder. You end up with a bunch of gold and you die and nobody even knows that you're dead for a whole month. And they have to scoop you out with a shovel, you know, because it cannot be pleasant. You know, and probably any family that he had probably is fighting over his gold right now and could care less about Pops the milkshake there, you know, and what happened to him. And to me, you know, that's kind of why we do what we do. That's why we're having this, you know, this podcast right now, because I want to see Scott and Todd and every dad listening spend his life on something that matters. Because, you know, you may not have a stitch of gold, you may not have a single bar, you may not have a single grain, and you can be a huge success at the same time. So how about we use that as a lead into one of our questions, Scott?
Sure. Yeah, you've gotten several questions lately about work, but this one kind of represents them pretty well. It's a guy says, "Hey, Todd, I have a question. I realize that God's word does say that I should be the provider. I do have a temporary job as of right now, and then ending close to the end of this month. I have been filling out other applications and have been to a few interviews. I'm presently going to school for networking administration, and I did go back to get my Class A CDL license to become an over-the-road driver with a big company. Unfortunately, I stepped down because it would cause me to be out approximately 26 days out of every month due to demand. I feel somewhat bad because I just have a job that will be ending soon, and as of now, no permanent job. So I have talked to other godly men in my church, and everyone agrees that I'm very devoted to seeing my family grow up together. I know that I should be working, but also I don't believe that God wants the father to be an absent father either. I don't know what to think at times. Does the Bible say anything about being there as a father?" Excuse me. Signed, a confusing dad who loves his family.
You know, I know a lot of dads feel the same way. They feel that pull. The Bible talks a lot about, you know, providing for your family. In fact, for those who don't provide for your family, Jesus said, you know, you're worse than an unbeliever, because that's what your priority is to do. You know, and even the Pharisees, how they would say, you know, as they had their little money and they were giving to the poor people, they'd say, well, you know, anything that I might have given to you, mom and dad, or I think it could by implication to you, wife or children, I've given it, you know, to a greater cause. And I think the Pharisees are condemned for that. And I think, yes, we have to provide. You know, it's our job as a dad to provide for our family, you know, whatever it takes. I know I was raised by a dad who said, hey, you know, if things are going bad, you know, you're not bringing in enough money, then you either need to cut your expenses or you need to get a second job. And if that's not enough, you get a third job. I'll have dads who come up to me, and I can think of one right now, you know, who said, you know, Todd, I've been looking for a job for 3 years and I haven't found one. You know, I just have a hard time believing that. Now, it may not be the job he wants, or he may not, but, you know, there are a lot of jobs out there that somebody's willing to pay someone to do. Now, you know, you already kind of mentioned the dilemma. You know, you did some training, and now you have a job that would take you away 26 days out of the month. You know, that doesn't, I'm no mathematician, Scott, but that doesn't leave a lot of days left.
No, it doesn't.
You know, and I think there would be some people would say, well, you've got to provide for your family. You know, that's what you're trained in. That's what you're called to do. And again, if you've listened very long, you know, the Greek word for that is baloney. because, you know, really, we were called to take care of our families. We were called to provide for our families. I do not believe that we are to neglect our families at that cost. I think the cost is too great. Now, again, you might have to do something that you don't like doing. You might have to get rid of a lot of things. But, you know, I wouldn't even consider taking a 26-day out of the month absence job. Not only will you miss out on so much, Dad, you will miss out on your children as they mature and as they grow and as they struggle, and you miss out on the best. But even bigger than that, I think you will be letting down your children who desperately need you to be there. They need to be able to not just Skype you. They need to be able to talk to you, and you need to talk to them and be able to look in their eyes. And I know your wife needs you. You know, you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church, and there is no way to do that on 4 days out of a month. You know, your wife needs you there. She may say, oh, I've got big shoulders. Don't believe her, because it's not true. She may say, oh, our kids will be fine. Don't believe her, because they will not be fine. They need to. And you're teaching them something huge. You're teaching them about priorities. I believe God takes care of his children when they do it his way, the right way. So, you know, I'd say I can't work there, or I can't do that kind of job, and I'd start looking for something else. I'd let everybody you know, the people at your church, hey, I'm looking for a job. I need to support my family. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm looking. These are the skills I have. And you'd be surprised of who knows who. And, you know, maybe it'll be a little lean for a while. But I know those lean times that we've had in our lives have been our best times. In fact, we look back at some of those times where, you know, money was really tight, and we think, wasn't it amazing how God provided for us? Now, I wouldn't, you know, just sit back and think, oh, we don't have to get a job and God will take care of us. There's some instructions and warnings against people who are lazy. But you don't sound like a lazy guy. You sound like a guy who just wants to support his family and be with your family. So I would do it. I would do whatever it takes. You got any thoughts on that, Scott?
You know, I do. To me, it seems like such a confusing and difficult struggle for a lot of dads. And this has been kind of a pet issue of mine over the past few years, of trying to really work my way into what I want to be doing with my life, but also being there for my family. And a lot of it comes down to, okay, what is your calling in life? You kind of spoke to that a little bit when, you know, you hear people say that men are supposed to define themselves by their work. And I think our calling from God is so much bigger than that. Work is a way that we can live out our calling from God, but it's not the essence of who we are. But at the same time, I don't think we should just grind it out day after day, year after year, doing something we can't stand that doesn't speak to who we are in our core beings at all. And that can, because that really saps you of your energy. And I've been at jobs where, you know, I come home at the end of the day and yeah, I might be there, but I'm worthless to my family because I'm so drained from doing a job I hate all day long. So it's a tough balance. And there's, you know, there are a lot of good resources nowadays, and thankfully there's so many options for being creative at finding or creating work that you would, that you really love and can be available to your family. It takes some hard work to get there. I read a book recently by a guy named John Acuff called Quitter, where he actually talks about this. John is works with Dave Ramsey's organization and now goes around speaking at conferences and things like that and writes books. But his book Quitter was all about his transition from working full-time in a job that he actually kind of liked, but transitioning into doing what he loves and that is really a part of who he is. And it's got some great tips for people who are looking to do something like that. So I would say don't give up in the search, like you were saying. You know, find something that you can do that will provide And, you know, if it's going to be a tough slog where you've got to be away from your family some, make it a defined short period of time. Don't just let that be open-ended and be gone forever, because there might be seasons in life where it's a short period where you got to just kick in and do it. But don't let that just go on and on.
Because it will go on and on, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's what happens. I've talked to lots of guys, and I've even found myself, you know, in those kind of positions thinking, okay, I'll do this, you know, I'll put an extra for a little while. And like you said, if you don't put a boundary on that, you end up doing that for the rest of your life, or you end up doing that for a long, you know, long period of time. I know I've shared the story before of a dad who, you know, he came to me and he said, you know, I work a long way away. I'm traveling several days a week. I know I'm blowing it in the dad department. What should I do? And I said, man, I'd quit. You know, and he said, yeah, but I don't have, you know, all these, my plan B, and I don't have all this lined up. And I'm like, I know it, but, you know, I'd quit and let God take care of you in that. And he said, I know. And he came up to me. That was about 6 or 7 years ago. He's come up to me. He did the same thing. The next year, he came up again. Same thing. I said, well, you better quit. He did the next year. That was, like I said, 6 or 7 years ago. He's still in that same job. 7 years have passed. And he's missed out on all that stuff. He's taught his children. He's taught his kids, really, that our work is more important than our family, and his children have missed out on having his dad there. You know, because I think there is a lot of truth in what you said, Scott, about finding our calling. And you know, my wife and I had this conversation last night. She was saying about my second oldest son, Sam. He's the one who, if you go to our YouTube, our videos on YouTube, you'll see some of his animations. Sam is super gifted. He's done covers for our books. He's done our web, you know, art. He's super gifted. He's 17 years old. He's going to be the next Pixar, you know, guy. He's going to be working on those videos. And she was saying, you know, I just think God wants him to go into that and, you know, maybe redeem some of that for godly purposes. And I believe all that. But I guess, you know, when we were talking about all this and I see my son doing this and something that he loves doing, I always just thought it was a really, really cool job that he could enjoy doing and that he could provide for his family at the same time. You know, because really that's what our jobs are for. We used to, you know, a long time ago, or not so long ago, our jobs did. They were just that. You know, we were known as family men, and we had jobs, and sometimes they weren't always the most glamorous. You know, if you ever watched It's a Wonderful Life, they always refer to, you know, Bert the cop and Ernie the cab driver, you know, and there were a lot of guys who worked in, you know, the power and light company for 50 years. We live in a age right now where we don't really do that. We have to, you know, be something. And not that I'm against any of that. I love doing what I am doing. I feel like I was made to do this. But, you know, somewhere along the way, we went from being family men to company men. You know, I remember one of the guys that I met with, he would always, he was an older guy, he would refer to so-and-so, Joe, oh, he was a good company man. And I'm thinking, what happened? Where did we go from being family men to company men? Because I think, again, my calling is not to be the family man. My calling is to be a family man. Unfortunately, being a family man is not always as much fun as being the family man. You know, I'm in here in my quiet office right now, and in just a few minutes, I'm going to go up to the terrors of lunchtime at the Wilson house. And it's not always very fulfilling. But I'm right with you, Scott. I think that, you know, I'd want to do something that I love. You know, I wouldn't be in a huge hurry thinking, oh, I've got to do it right away. You know, sometimes we have to do some of the things we hate until we're in a situation where we can do some of the things we love. Because we do have some priorities. You know, I have lots of dads who will say, oh, Todd, but you're so lucky. And I don't know why they use that word lucky. You know, they'll say, you get to work out of your home. You don't even know what the real world is like. You don't have a real job. You get to travel around the country. And I want to say, you think that's easy? You know, and they'll say, well, you know, I'm stuck in an office and I have to work, you know, 50 hours a week or whatever. And I'm like, that's easy work. I mean, you get to go to a nice quiet office and be away from everybody. You know, try hanging with your family in an RV for, you know, 100 days in a row and see how nice and fun that is. But I would say this. You know, in this whole job thing, I do not believe anyone is a victim. You know, I do not believe anybody's a victim. Like, you know, that it's the, you know, the toss of the dice and you're just stuck where you're stuck to like you use that word to, you know, trudge it out for the rest of your life till you're dead. I don't believe that. You know, if God's put a vision in your heart to do something, I'd say do it. And I know some are saying, yeah, but how can I do that? I didn't say you'd be able to do it right away. And you might have to make some drastic changes. You know, a guy said to me, you know, you're so lucky because you get an X amount of weeks of vacation. I'm like, well, hey, if you want 2 months of vacation, you can get 2 months of vacation. Now, it may not be the job you work at. You may have to make some sacrifices. You may not be able to have 2 or 3 cars. You may only get one old clunker of a car. You may not be able to have the best insurance. You may just have to squeak by insurance. But, you know, you can reduce a lot of things so you can have your month of vacation each year. You know, I just don't believe that we're victims of circumstance. In fact, I think I love it when I hear about a dad who quits a well-paying job because he wants to spend more time with his family. And I think, man, the whole world will look at that dad and say, you are stupid. You know, why would you ever, ever, ever do that? Because, you know, we've been skewed by the world, and I think the church has believed a lot of the same skewing, you know, that we rank certain jobs, like we rank certain grades. You know, we say A's are better than B's, and B's are better than C's, you know, for our kids. And we say to our kids, you know, brain surgeons way up there, you know, a dump truck driver is way down there, a lawyer is even lower than that. And, I don't think that's true. If God's called you to be a lawyer, and I think Abraham Lincoln said the same thing, you know, whatever you're called to be a good one. Or whatever you're doing, be a good one. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. So I'd say if God's put something in your heart to do something, do it. You know, make plans, lighten the load. You know, I don't think it's realistic. A lot of guys even ask me, well, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, working out of my home, you know, how could I do that? And I always say, you know, don't expect you to be able to quit your job and have another self-employment opportunity that makes the same income that you used to be making. You know, you might have to, lighten the balloon, lighten the load, get rid of some things so you don't need as much. So you can do some of those things that you'd like to do. Any more thoughts on that, Scott?
Yeah, you were saying before that, you know, that you think your kids will be fine if you're gone 26 days out of the month, that they're tough and resilient and all that. And you said, you know, your kids won't be fine. And I just thought, you know, I totally agree. But the scary part to me is, what if they are fine?
Yeah.
You know, what if your kids are fine without you there? Is that really what you wanted?
Yeah. You know, maybe you could be dead for a month and they may not even know. You could be dead for 23 days or 25 days and they don't find you except in your truck or your apartment and you've got a pile of whatever you've collected. That's a really sad thought. You're pretty good at that, Scott, leaving us with these sad thoughts. I think that is about time to...
What's that?
We're kind of drawing it to the end here. I think we're just about out of time.
Yep.
And, you know, I should tell our listeners, and since we do have some listeners, I think, you know, I'm recording this from the from studio, whatever, 3A here in my basement. And Scott, where are you right now?
I'm in my car on my lunch break. It'll still sound like we're sitting in the same studio together, but we'll see. And I'm going to be recording with you on the road, so that'll be another adventure trying to figure out how that goes.
Yeah, we're going to try that, you know.
I promise we'll be fun and funnier next time.
this is good.
And
this
speaking
is
of that,
great.
Do you know what we're talking about next time?
We're talking about teenagers, I think.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about teenagers, and that ought to be a good one because I've got a couple of those teenagers. And just a little teaser, you know, parenting of teenagers is not what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was kind of like doing little kids, only they were now taller. And I used to kind of look down on parents, you know, maybe in my little piousness with my little uppity attitudes. I didn't say this, actually. But I can remember seeing parents with teens and it'd be a struggle. And in my head, I would think, well, if they would just do it God's way, they wouldn't have this problem. I do not believe that's true anymore. I think that, it's relationship. Relationships are hard. Parenting is hard. It's not for the faint of heart. Dr. Dobson was right. Parenting isn't for cowards, which, by the way, I'm going to be on Focus on the Family. I think it's Monday and Tuesday, whatever the first and second is.
Next week. First and second of October.
That sounds cool. Well, hey, I got to say goodbye. You got to go eat lunch or do something. I got to go up to the Wilson Zoo here. Dad, let me just encourage you. You know, keep doing what you're doing. Keep listening to God speak to you. Because, you know, you're feeling that little pull that says, maybe I'm working just a little bit too much. Or maybe I'm not working hard enough. I believe that is the voice of God. And he's talking to you. You know why he's talking to you? Because you're the dad.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to The Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. Please leave a review on iTunes and connect with The Family Man online at familymanweb.com. You can also check us out on Facebook and Twitter and all those other great social media places. Don't forget to mark your calendars for next week, October 1st and 2nd, when Todd is on Focus on the Family. I'm Scott Moore. You can follow me at thecallofmen.com. And have a great week.